This is KGMI Connects with Joe Tien, a live local show about our community and you. Check it!
That's right. It is about our community and you, and we hope to hear from you. 360-676-5464 is our phone number. If you hear any banging in the background during the show, you're getting a new roof put on our KGMI and Cascade Radio Group studios here, our building. You know, a little maintenance. So, a little noise here and there, but we're getting through it. We appreciate the hard work of the guys up there. Quick, before we go to calls, and we got folks standing by and eager to discuss issues, and that as I hope you are, whatever's on your mind here on this Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, Tuesday. I just wanted to just talk real briefly about, I almost fell for a scam this weekend, and maybe you've seen this. If you're on social media, there's been this thing circulating about a Gibson Les Paul Standard giveaway. And Sweetwater apparently, and I'm not familiar with it, but I think is a reputable website that deals musical instruments. But this claims that Sweetwater is giving away some 1,200 or some huge amount of these Les Paul guitars, which are very expensive guitars, a couple thousand bucks each, I think. And I saw this and it said in... a guy who introduced himself as Vi, and I was thinking, is this Steve Vai, the famous guitar player, who's talking about this, and they gave it some credibility, and but apparently, and I went through, because you had to click on it and answer, it says, claim your guitar, and then you'd answer three simple questions, and they were, I don't even remember, they were just simple and ridiculous, and then said, you qualify. Hurry, because there are only 16 left. And then you had to go, but all you had to do was pay for postage, quote unquote. And so then it took you to a page where you wanted all your information, your credit card and all that stuff. And I thought, you know, this just seems, I was on the verge of doing it. And I thought, this just seems a little bit fishy, or a lot fishy, that they would just give away these guitars they claimed because of damage to the shipping box by mishandling or something, and these are perfectly good guitars, blah, blah, blah. I thought, wait a minute. Now, as nice as this would be to get for free, why would they be giving these away for free? Because the box is damaged, or is the guitar damaged? Or, and I started kicking around in my head, would the, you know, would it just show up like part of the guitar, or, you know, the guitar's all smashed to pieces, or, and I thought, this just seems a little bit too far-fetched. So I didn't do it. And then I've seen these ads, they pop up on Facebook. I've seen them on, I think I've seen them on Instagram too. And I think I've just seen them on Google, if I'm not mistaken, but the same pitches for this free guitar giveaway. Then I was sitting here today and I thought, you know, I'm just going to look this up. And sure enough, it's a scam. So don't do this. And I'm getting this from malwaretips.com, saying don't fall for the Sweetwater Gibson Les Paul guitar giveaway scam. That you sign up for this, you give them their information for $9.99 in shipping charges, which is pretty outrageously cheap for like a package the size of a guitar. But Then what they do is, without telling you, is they sign you up for just rotate, you know, revolving payments off of your credit card, like $99 a month or something like that. Let's see. And no guitars have ever been shipped. Recurring charges often exceed $79 to $99 per month. And that's on top of the initial $9.99 for the shipping payment, and nothing, you know, people aren't, you know, nobody's getting anything. And then of course the charges keep coming until you discover this on your credit card and you go through all that rigmarole to get them canceled and all that stuff. And so it's just a scam. So just I mean, it's easy for us to fall for these things. And you know, they get you a hook, line, and sinker. And apparently they've used AI to produce this ad, the video that's on this ad, with different personalities or people claiming to be, or like video of actual Sweetwater employees who are being manipulated with AI to pitch this. So just be very, very careful. Now, if it's too good to be true, and I guess that's just something that we've always been taught, too good to be true, it probably is. And, well, I think you can bank on the fact that it is too good to be true. And it's not true. Well, let's get rolling here. It's 360-676-5464 is our phone number here on KGMI Connects. And Doug in Whatcom County gets us started today. Doug, are you there?
Yeah, Joe.
All right.
I haven't called in a while. But I have a couple of, I've almost fallen for a couple of those scams.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so easy.
And
I check afterwards to see whether it's a scam or not. And I usually have a way to get out. But I recommend people, before you check the line, look to see if it's a scam. And 99% of the time, they are. But,
exactly. Go in a third-party way to check it out.
I have a couple things. One is I've heard people say that it was only students involved in the demonstrations in Columbia and elsewhere. Well, Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, he's a liberal, and I'm not, but he said, "No, I'm not sure that it's all just students." And then the New York Police Department, this is their own, it's not from some right-wing publication, I think the New York Police Department found that about 60% of the arrests at City College in New York were not students. And, of course, that's not an Ivy League or anything. But then the New York Times, about the same time, early May, they found that at Columbia, 29% of the student arrests were also not students. And then this is real recent. May 5th, the New York Times, they found by looking at videos that there were some longtime activists among the students protesting at Columbia. And one video showed a woman, gray-haired woman. They identified her later with facial recognition as someone named Lisa Fidian. She was working, she's 63, she was working with the demonstrators who stormed one of the buildings, I think it was that one main building they took over. And she is identified as a long time, by the New York Police Department, as a longtime activist and actually a trainer for left-wing protesters. So that I take that as being factual because of the sources,
okay.
Police Department and Times. And so that is evidence against it all being just students. So this Lisa Fidian is identified by the Police Department of New York City as being a confirmed professional agitator. And, you know, it's as soon as this came out, even the New York Times had an article that there were some outsiders that said, outsiders were among Columbia protesters, but outsiders, they dispute instigating clashes. And it's almost, I look at that and I think, it's almost like these outsiders are walking by. They see some innocent students mostly peacefully demonstrating. And they were so overcome by moral persuasion that they decided to join them. That sounds kind of unbelievable to me.
I think what you're saying is probably true. Yeah. I mean, I think there are people who... they see this as an opportunity, and I'm getting kind of something kind of weird when I talk, some kind of weird feedback, but that there are those who this is kind of their way of life and what they do, and they see an opportunity, and they think, I'm going to take advantage of this, and I'm going to go and be part of this, and
I think the whole thing's really unfortunate because I would bet even at Columbia, Ivy League school, and they're probably most of the students who are not even interested in the protests, they're just wanting to get back into finish their semester and graduate in the case of seniors and so on. But now that seems to be not happening this year. Now, I have another totally separate topic, but it's been one that's been much in the news lately, including on your show. There have been those that say there are very few incidents of transgender participation in sports. And there are lots of cases. There's one that's real recent. It was in West Virginia. And a publication that I'm not familiar with, but it's called the West Virginia Watch. On April 29th, they reported that the Harrison County, West Virginia Board of Education banned five middle school girl athletes from future competition. And you might wonder why. Well, because those girls, I've seen the video of it, they protested a boy, call it a trans girl, but biologically a boy, who participated in a middle school shot put competition on April 18th of this year. And these middle school girls from a different school, their protest was kind of interesting. I actually saw the video where each one of them, one by one, would stand in the ring. And I don't think they had the shot, but they didn't put it, if you get my meaning. They just got in the ring and stepped out, and they did that one by one. Okay. And now you think, okay, that's over. But it wasn't over, because the Harrison County Board of Education actually banned these. I think it was a vote of something like 8-1. They banned these middle school girls, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old, from future competition. And the trans person can still compete, but they can't. And that seems backwards. Now, it's gotten really complicated because...
Well, that was a protest. I mean, on one hand, I'm taking it that you applaud the school, you know, Columbia and other universities, for taking action against protesters. On this hand, you want the protesters to be treated as those who should be, you know, that they shouldn't face any kind of sanction. You get what I'm saying?
Totally. Yeah, I do, but totally, I hadn't thought of that aspect of it. But Joe, totally different issues.
Okay.
The idea of transgender sports participation. Now, one thing we don't ever hear about is a transgender girl wanting to, in other words, biologic male, but transgenders to female. They don't compete against males. It's always the transgender males who transition to girl that want to compete against the biologic girls. So I look at that as being I see your parallel, your contradiction, but I think it's a false contradiction. It's a totally different issue.
Okay.
The anti-Semitic demonstrations and the transgender participation in sports. I think my personal opinion is that this transgender participation in sports is going to completely ruin women's sports. Wait till the first time I watched the women's NCAA basketball. It was very exciting. But wait till the first time a college takes a mediocre male participant who is transgender female, puts them on their team, and they dominate. It could easily happen. It hasn't happened yet, but the NCAA, unlike the NAIA, has not yet banned the participation of biologic males in female sports. So.
Okay. Well, they're the ones that I think should be charged with it. And I Doug, I appreciate your call and your thoughts on this. I think those are the bodies that talking about the NCAA or the state athletic associations, what have you. These are the organizations that should be making a call on this kind of thing on competition. In an organized competition, if you have a participant who protests, or I mean, that's, and especially school age kids who stage protests, they're generally not caught. They're not, you know, they are sanctioned, and it just that kind of happens. They're not seen, and I learned that when I was in high school, that kids, you don't enjoy the same free speech rights, say, as adults do. But I appreciate your thoughts, Doug, and we'll continue that conversation. But we're just about up against a break. Well, real quick, let's go to Bo. Is this Bo?
No, it's Barncat and Bo.
Oh, yeah, Barncat and Bo. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I was stuck in the April 12th Cascadia News. In the anniversary section, they said that it was the anniversary of FDR's death in 45. And then below that, they said that mentioned that when he died, 7 of the 9 sitting Supreme Court justices had been appointed by him alone. And then it makes it seem like he's some kind of a Supreme Court hog or pushing the limits or packing.
Now, who was that? Which president was that?
That was FDR.
Oh, okay.
And then by that time he had appointed over his 12 years in office, he had appointed about one every 2 years. And then, but when it comes to, then it's, if you go to George W. H. Bush, H.W. Bush, eight of the nine, when he left, eight of the nine justices were Republican appointees.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, it went back and forth. And then from 1967 to 1993, the Republicans put in 10 in a row over the 26 years. And so you can see, and then I looked it all up, and then the Republican majority on the court for 52 years in a few months so far.
Hmm.
And the Democratic majority only lasted during the Truman years. It went for about 13 years in a row.
Yeah, of course.
So,
some of those Republican appointees turned out to be quite liberal, and as they sat on the court, you know, it's always a bit of a crapshoot for whoever nominates these justices. Although it seems the court certainly has taken a sharp turn to the right in recent years.
And, oh yeah, but Byron White was a Kennedy appointee, and he voted against the Roe versus Wade at the time. So he was one of the conservatives on the time. But then I always get tired of how they were so bitter about Bork, and he didn't get on. But then you got the Scalia and Thomas are both Borkian or worse. So
yeah. Well, and Bork carried the baggage from Watergate and the Saturday Night Massacre, and he was the guy who actually fired the special prosecutor when his superior refused to. He was the assistant. Attorney general. He was in the attorney general's office at the time, and when Nixon ordered, and I forget who all the players were, but he ordered the attorney general to fire, was Archibald Cox, I believe.
Okay.
And then he resigned rather than fire the special prosecutor. And then it worked its way down. I don't know if Bork was the next in line or further down, but then he was the one who actually then pulled the trigger and fired the special Watergate prosecutor. So yeah, he left a lot of bad taste in people's mouths there in Washington with that. But all right,
well,
an interesting look at the Supreme Court and how it's been been shaped in modern times. But yeah, because I hadn't really thought about that. Yeah, thanks, Barquette. Appreciate it.
Okay,
thanks for your call.
Bye now.
Quick break, and we'll be back with more. We got others on the line, and we'll hear from you too, hopefully. 360-676-5464.
The Washington Department of Ecology wants your thoughts about environmental cleanup work at the Plantation Rifle Range in Bellingham. The permit that authorizes that work is now available for review and comment until mid-June. Go to ecology.wa.gov/PRR comments. That's ecology.wa.gov/PRR comments.
You love what you find.
Celebrate the savings you'll find at Wilson's Furniture during their 27th anniversary sales event, happening right now. Owner Bill Brester says the anniversary sale is your best chance to save store-wide on hundreds of items throughout Wilson's huge showroom. Living room, dining room, bedroom, it's all on sale now during the biggest and best anniversary sale ever. And owner Bill Brester has the showroom and warehouse overflowing with a great selection, all anniversary sale priced. Live life outdoors this summer in comfort and style with new patio furniture from Wilson's. You'll love the selection that you'll find. The largest selection north of Seattle. Don't miss the store-wide savings you'll find at Wilson Furniture during their 27th anniversary sale going on now. From Bill Brester and family, along with the great team at Wilson's, thanks for 27 great, great years. Wilson's on Pacific Highway in Ferndale, or shop online 24/7 at wilsonhomefurnishings.com. Step right up to big savings with the Northwest Washington Fair's Ticket Blitz. This Friday, May 10th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., snag your fair admission and all-day carnival wristbands at can't-miss prices. View all the amazing animals. Taste that amazing fair food.
This is really delicious.
And scream your heart out on the thrilling rides all for less. Get $2 off fair admission, $10 off 10-day admission passes, and $18 off all-day carnival wristbands. These deals start early. Visit NWWAfair.com. That's NWWAfair.com, May 10th, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m., and save big. For your ultimate guide to fun this summer, head to NWWAfair.com, including the Bank of Pacific Grandstand Entertainment Series lineup on the big stage. Don't miss out. Remember, the Northwest Washington Fair Ticket Blitz is this Friday, May 10th.
A door is only as secure as the lock you put on it. Accurate Lock and Security is the professional team you need. Buying a new door? Consult with the team at Accurate Lock to ensure you have appropriate hardware. Buying a new home? Be sure to have your locks re-keyed. You never know how many copies of your keys are out there. Accurate Lock and Security, your full-service locksmith center, serving Northwest Washington for 90 years. Certified, experienced, and dedicated to keeping you safe. Learn more online at AccurateLock.net. AccurateLock.net.
The Washington Department of Ecology wants your thoughts about environmental cleanup work at the Plantation Rifle Range in Bellingham. The permit that authorizes that work is now available for review and comment until mid-June. Go to ecology.wa.gov/PRR comments. That's ecology.wa.gov/PRR comments.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
And right back to the phones. Bob and Everson standing by. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Joe. What's going on?
I'm just doing the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to agree with what I can't remember what his name was last caller. As far as transgender and the argument, completely different. And I want to thank Michelle for continuing to bring up these cases of or instances of boys or men competing in women's sports and completely demolishing these girls that have worked their butts off to try to get on the podium and have a spot taken away by a biological male. That wasn't the reason why I called, but I just want to throw that out. I just want to talk about a little bit about transgender health and, you know, the way it's, you know, portrayed to these poor families that let their kids that are under 18 start puberty blockers and hormones and such. Michael Schellenberger, he's a investigative journalist. I don't know if you've heard of him. He exposed, are you familiar with WPATH?
WPATH?
So WPATH is the World Professional Association on Transgender Health.
Okay.
Is what WPATH stands for. And so a lot of doctors that perform these surgeries, they kind of go off of what the WPATH recommends. And so he did this big investigation and had some whistleblowers, and all this information is now coming out about the whole transgender health and, you know, these hormones that are being introduced to these kids with a lot of side effects that, you know, they're not being told about. You know, the doctors that are doing this, you know, with their oath is to do no harm, yet they know these kids are having these things done to them with no real informed consent. There's been no scientific evidence coming out of this investigation that supports these claims that if you don't give your kids hormones and, you know, whatever puberty blockers, you know, you go with what gender they feel, that they're going to commit suicide. There's been zero evidence that that's true. After this investigation, and, you know, they're putting this out there like it's, you know, some scientific evidence when, again, if you really start looking into it, people need to take their blinders off and open their ears and not uncover their eyes and quit going.
And what would be the motivation of medical professionals, doctors and others to say, yeah, this is something that's real and something that we need to treat. That these people are indeed in a situation that deserves medical attention. I mean, what's the motivation to be out there just changing people's gender willy-nilly?
Yeah.
What's driving it?
Obviously there's money. Obviously, there's always money involved. For sure there's that. But my thing is, I'm not anti-trans. I'm not. This is about kids that are under 18 that are being.
What if you? I think you're a parent, and what if your child is in this kind of a situation and they are torn or they are convinced that they're not the sex that they've been told that they are, that they know they're not, and wouldn't you pretty much do anything to help that child and regardless of what some journalist who has an agenda going into the issue is digging up this enlightening investigative report.
You're just speculating. He's got an agenda. This is actually. How do you know this isn't a father?
But the Pediatric Association, the Medical Association, they all say that this is real.
Well, they don't. That's the thing. If you actually do the research, this is as a parent,
what?
I would do the research. It's like I did with my kids with, vaccines and whatever. I did the research. I didn't just be like, listen to one doctor that said you should do this.
Okay.
The mass majority of kids that have gender dysphoria, if you do nothing, will end up maybe turning gay or more than likely grow out of it. That is the fact. Yeah, you have doctors that are telling these parents that if you don't do these procedures, they'll commit suicide. And my point is, these whistleblowers say, and you can look it up for themselves, this is not true. This WPATH was founded in the 1960s by a pretty crazy out there person that started this. But you can look into it. And the facts will tell you that
what's
being presented is not.
All right.
One more thing.
Go ahead and look it up. Okay. What is it?
One more thing.
All right.
70% of this country, roughly, disagrees with men competing in women's sports or boys competing in girls' sports. That's across the board. 70%.
Okay.
So,
all right.
It's common sense, Joe. That's all it is. Common sense.
Okay. What if Caitlin Clark was drafted by an NBA team? I guess keep her off. We don't want to mix the genders there. We don't have anything going on.
Here's what I got to say. It's good luck. She couldn't make an NBA team if her life depended on it.
You don't think? No, okay. All right.
Not even close. So that's reality.
Okay. All right. The men are in. Every man could just beat down a woman at any sport. That's nutty. That's crazy talk. I mean, it really is. Sure, there are a lot of men, but there are a lot of girls that could beat me down, that could beat us down. What's it going to come to? We're talking about having girls flag football as a state sport, which I think would be great. But do we say no? You got larger girls that might play line. And then we got the smaller girls that might play the more skilled positions. What do? Do we segregate? Say the big girls can't play because you might hurt the smaller girls. Where does it end? Just throwing it out there. But quick break. Back with more. Well, I've got plenty of folks on the line. I'm sure we'll get to this topic and more here as KGMI Connects continues.
Business Pulse Magazine's annual list of the top 100 private companies in Whatcom County is coming soon. To be considered, go to WhatcomBusinessAlliance.com and take the quick survey. Your company headquarters must be based in Whatcom County, and 2023 sales need to be $1 million and above. Whatcom County's top 100 companies will appear in the 2024 July-August issue of Business Pulse Magazine. Don't miss out on making the list. Go to WhatcomBusinessAlliance.com and take the survey by June 7th.
You've got questions about your car or truck, and we have answers on KGMI's In the Shop. Dan from Bellingham Automotive, Brian from Dr. John's Auto Clinic, and Kirk from Angler Automotive are here to help. And we have a great new way for you to get your questions or comments to them. Email them to intheshop@kgmi.com. Then listen each Saturday at 9 a.m. or check out the podcast at mybellinghamnow.com. Once again, that's intheshop@kgmi.com.
Hi, I'm Henry Winkler. My eyes are very important to me. My eyes connect me with everything I love. I loved my late father-in-law dearly. He always lit up a room, but his vision dimmed with age. He had age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. And since partnering with Apellis, I've learned there's an advanced form of dry AMD called geographic atrophy, or GA. His struggle with vision loss made me want to help others know about GA's warning signs. For some, colors appear dull or washed out. For others, hazy or blurred vision make it hard to see details, like fine print on price tags. Many have trouble seeing in the dark, making driving at night difficult. GA gets worse over time and cannot be reversed. If you think you have GA, don't wait. Treatments are available. Ask a retina specialist about FDA-approved treatments for GA and go to gawontwait.com.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Rest easy in a cool home this summer. Contact West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical to add AC to your existing system for as little as $140 a month. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com. We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects. 360-676-5464.
That we are. And let's see what Jim in Bellingham has in store for us today. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
I'm well. What's on your mind?
Well, it's kind of complicated. Let's see what I can come up with.
Okay.
You talked about Patrick Lawrence, and I wanted to remind you, listeners, that it's Consortium News. That's in consortiumnews.org or .com.
Okay.
It's a blog, essentially. It has some pretty good stories on it. And I think what I left you with yesterday was that he was saying how, not to take anything for granted, but we're not necessarily on the verge of fascism, which can be sort of comforting, even though I think people should be vigilant. And so I go on from there to say that, you know, the Young Fresh Fellows, the band that I've promoted because I like them, they have a lyric in a Shearing Patrol theme song called We Can't Waste Our Time Leaving the Past Behind. And so they're going on tour. You can look it up on the computer. And how this relates to Gore Vidal, which he wrote an essay called Political Melodramas. And he says last year, this is 1972, a long time ago, but it's probably germane. Last year, a remarkable book was published in the United States, Washington Payoff, by Robert N. Winterberger. At first hand, the author, a former lobbyist, describes how the Speaker of the House of Representatives, John McCormick, rented space in his Capitol office to a master criminal named Nathan Voloshin. From the Speaker's office, a team of influence peddlers sold favors to innumerable clients. Eventually, they were busted by the U.S. Attorney Robert Morgenthau. So it goes on, and it even involves LBJ. I'll try to get to it tomorrow because I don't want to take all your time. But LBJ said to Sumdry, he offered to pay $1 million to someone not to talk. I think it was Bobby Baker, who was some guy. And then Gore Vidal continues. He says, I have nothing to add to the unfolding scandals of Watergate, except to note that what has so far been revealed is only the tip of not an iceberg, but a glacier. And he goes on to say, I'll just give you a little hint of what's coming.
So, Ed, what's all this? What's in this in relation to?
Well, the corruption of our political system,
okay,
essentially.
Right.
And then what he says is that, you know, the point being a left winger, he Gore Vidal even went on to say that it would question not only these criminal enterprises that were going up to the top of the pile with to LBJ, but it would call the whole question of our political system into how corrupt it is, and even to the point of questioning the idea of property. You know, what does property mean, and how does our government control it? And so that there's another little point about the curtailing of all programs that might make the poor less desperate. It's because we have desperate poor, and Cornel West is the presidential candidate. Excuse my throat scratchiness.
That's okay.
Cornell West. Okay. I can talk about it another time, but that's an overview of what I was going to say.
Okay. Well, I don't know that that Gore Vidal's vision for a government would be any less corrupt than what he alleges is the condition here. I mean, people in power, there's going to be a level of corruption to one degree or another, but then society has to have checks and balances, and the governmental system has to have checks and balances. That's what our system is set to, is planned to help prevent. Of course, no system is perfect, but all right, Jim, thanks for your call. Let's see, real quick, let's go to Brian in Linden. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
You bet.
Yeah, you asked the question about, you know, women in the football, the flag football, which I think is a great idea.
Okay.
Having women's flag football. But there are sports that have weight classes, like wrestling and boxing.
Sure. Yeah.
And so, like, if there are these more physical, competitive, dangerous sports, there are weight classes that already exist. But, I mean, you asked, like, where do we draw the line? I mean, why do women's sports exist at all? Like, why is there a line there, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that women do perform at a different level, and that our bodies are different. But just to blanket statement that says any man is going to dominate every woman in every sport, I think is wrong. And
I don't think any man, like, I'm not competitive in the WNBA, but like that was brought up, but in the NBA at the highest level,
I couldn't, like, play basketball with most, you know, junior high girls teams. I mean, I just couldn't. I'm taller than them, but I wouldn't have the skills that they have.
There's many regulations and ages and opportunities, you know, like, and people always have the opportunity to play up. My girls' volleyball team was dominating at their 14U level, and they chose to enter a tournament at the 16U level. And so they're allowed to play up, right? They're allowed to play to the older, stronger girls, because they were competitive. They came in second in that competition. They did great.
Uh-huh.
But they wouldn't be allowed to go down to the 12U level, because there's these levels of ages and strength and development, and there's restrictions all over sports. I totally agree with you. Like the governing bodies of sports are the ones that need to put these rules into place. Like, this is the role of the government. But I think it's a pretty clear role. Like, women's sports exist to give women the opportunity to play against women who have the same similar bone densities. And just that's the line that we draw between men and women. There are massive differences in development and strength, and to give women an opportunity to play sports, I think that line has to be drawn there, biological men and women. I mean, women playing men's sports, like, they should, yeah, sure, that opportunity could be available to them.
Well,
I mean, maybe we just need to have sports for anyone.
See, I guess
we have women's sports.
My point ultimately is not that any man should be allowed to play a sport, women's sports, because they declare themselves a woman. That's not my point. Mm-hmm. My point is that these laws that are being passed in state houses around the country are discriminatory in that they single out individuals and ban them from an activity that just across the board, and they're being used as they're effectively being used as a bludgeon against this concept of transgenderism, which is beyond sports. It transcends, you know, a person's being and it transcends society. And these are, you know, and it's singling out people who are already in a distressed situation in their life, and saying that you are somehow you're trying to scam, or you're trying to, you know, making this up. And ultimately, I think when it comes to sports, and this is, it's just sports is being used as a weapon, I guess, in this societal battle, or and that's what I object to. I think sports is sports, and it should be judged by those who are in charge of these different leagues and these different athletic associations. So I appreciate you at least understanding that's my point there.
I think that's the right place for that to be judged in all the, like all the classes. But I think transgender individual is not being outright banned from playing a sport. They just need to play the sport of their biological gender.
But I think it's unrealistic, though, to say that, okay, this person who has transformed or transitioned, I guess I should say, yeah, from being a boy to being and living as a girl and, you know, dressing that way, taking these hormones. I mean, the example that our earlier caller pointed out, he emailed me earlier today about it, this boy that was in that these girls had protested against, that he was taking these hormone blockers and these medicinal treatments for this. So somebody who is in that state to say, okay, well, you have to go play with the boys, you have to go in the boys' locker room and do all that, and then come out as a girl and play with the boys, I think that's unrealistic too.
Pretty much all it's not an easy gender neutral bathrooms. I mean, there would be a gender neutral place for it.
Right,
for them.
But come out and play,
male and
you know,
women.
Be dressed,
yeah, I think
you know,
they
basically
need to compete with their biological gender. I mean, right, their bone density hasn't changed. They're, you know, there's still testosterone. There's a biological advantage there.
Okay. All right, Brian. Yeah. Well, I appreciate the discussion with you.
And it isn't
an easy cut and dried.
No, it's not. And I think
issue.
That's why,
yeah,
you know, yes, these governing bodies do need to make decisions, but we also need to make our voices heard at this time because of the team discussed so much. So,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call. I do appreciate
all
it.
Right. All
right. Have a good one. And we'll take a quick break. We got Rich has been hanging on the line. We got Jerry and Michelle, and we'll get to you too. Hopefully we'll have time to squeeze you in here on KG My Connects.
Hello, folks. This is Phil George. I'm an elder law and estate planning attorney here in Bellingham, and you might know me as the host of the Aging Hour right here on KGMI. Would you like to learn about how to get your affairs in order? If you have questions about Medicare, Medicaid, long-term care costs, probate, wills, trusts, or anything else that has to do with aging, this is the radio show for you. Studies show that more than 70% of estate plans fail when families need them the most. Join us every Saturday and Sunday at 1 p.m. and we can show you how to set your family up for success.
Hey, this is Deanna Haraluk with KGMI's all-new Pet Pulse. I'm a pet parent myself, and we all want the best for our critters, whether they're furry, feathered, hooved, or otherwise. The segment is brought to you by Whatcom Veterinary Hospital. Heartworms, fleas, and ticks are more prevalent in the spring and summer. It's recommended to get monthly preventative treatments for your pet. Contact Whatcom Veterinary Hospital for a wellness exam today. And tune in to KGMI's Pet Pulse Wednesdays during the morning news at 6:20 and 7:50, and during the afternoon news at 5:20, right here on KGMI.
Cascade Radio Group wants to celebrate our 2024 graduating seniors with our annual Senior Spotlight.
Our Senior Spotlight will shine on a graduating high school senior each week who will receive a $500 scholarship from one of our sponsors.
Photo submissions are being accepted now through Sunday, June 23rd at 11:59 p.m. If you are or know a graduating 2024 high school senior, submit a photo in the Senior Spotlight Photo Gallery on this station's website.
Photos must contain only the graduating senior. Once your entry is approved, the photo will appear in the CRG Senior Spotlight Gallery. Scholarship winners will be announced weekly starting May 21st.
For full contest rules and details, go to this station's website. Senior Spotlight is brought to you by Lorraine's Window Coverings, D&D Insurance, Kurt Mayberry Farms, Allen Law Group, by Phillips 66, the new Mach 1 Speedway and Arcade, Cascade Radio Group, and this station.
We're taking your calls live on KGMI Connects, 360-676-5464.
We'll go right back to the phones. Rich in Ferndale's on the line. Hi, Rich.
How's it going, Joe?
Doing well.
A lot of talk about sports leagues making decisions about who can and can't compete in things. Now, I know one thing for sure. If sports leagues, professional, college, or otherwise, decided to have race-based categories for a sport, you would be crowing all night long to have the government step in and say that's illegal. And you'd love it if the state legislature said you can't have race-based leagues or categories. So it's kind of funny. You don't want the government to do... People are trying to keep it fair. The whole idea with banning men and women's sports is to keep people honest about the gender of their birth. It is outside of reality to say, I know this and that. When you know what science tells you and X and Y chromosome tells you. That is reality. Now, feeling and thinking don't have anything to do with reality.
Well,
you're born
you're
with an
diagnosing.
X or a Y,
now you're diagnosing people. You're taking
yep.
a you're
very
okay,
easy, Joe.
So you know
have
better.
Eyes in your head.
I mean,
I can yes, I do.
You know
so
better
do you.
Than
you
the
can,
American
yep,
Medical Association or the American yep, Pediatrics Association. Okay.
Yep. So do you, Joe? You can look with your eyes and see what genitalia somebody has, and you know exactly what gender they are. So if you tell me otherwise, something's wrong, Joe.
All right.
And you
well,
know that. This
you're,
is
you're
outside
more
of
than,
logic.
You're more than that. You are much more
no.
than that. And you
you're not.
That, okay. All right, Rich.
All right, sorry, well. Joe. Outside of reality, you're just.
Okay. All right. You don't have to hang up on me. I'm trying to, you know, make you upset. But let's go to Jerry in Ferndale. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Doing well. What are your thoughts
yeah,
here?
I guess I'm going to beat the drum, too.
Okay.
It seems to me that you're overlooking the fact that this transgender male is displacing girls that have worked maybe all their whole life to get to this position, and they're getting misplaced by these guys in sports. So, I mean, that's something nobody seems to be hearing about. And
well, that's
about
all we hear about from people who are opposed to this. That's all we hear about is that they're destroying women's sports, and that it, I mean, and the numbers just don't bear that out. I mean, you could say this is happening all over the place. It's not happening all over the place.
Let me make it a little more clear to
sure,
you.
Sure.
One girl misplaced in a sporting event, where maybe she would have got third or second or first or whatever mm-hmm. by a transgender male.
Okay.
Is not giving her a fair shake. I don't care. You're more worried about the transgender's feelings than you are about the girl that actually belongs in the sport.
No, my point is that opportunity should not be taken away by politicians who are simply playing politics. That's my point. It's not.
I don't see where politics has anything to do with it.
Well, this issue has become overwhelmingly politicized. I mean, it's on.
Well,
every,
yeah, maybe so, but the fact is that the misplacing a girl that belongs in that sport and is getting bumped by these guys because they're bigger, stronger. If you know, we all know
well,
that.
Let me throw
they
this.
Might not
in.
Be bigger, stronger than all every girl, but they're still misplacing somebody, and you know them.
But. Let me throw this
at
you because let me throw this at you. Now you know say we've got a women's team or a girls team in high school and
yeah.
There's a transgender girl on the team and she does really good. Maybe she comes in first in a, let's say it's a swimming team and the other girls
yeah,
are
okay.
they're you know performing at really high levels. For girls, this transgender girl is just a bit better and does win the whatever the you know
yeah,
the,
okay.
the trophy.
That's happened.
Now
okay.
that does not mean that those girls who came in second, third, they're performing at a high level. They go to the next level, which would be likely be a college swim team. There are any number of colleges around the country that would offer them. I mean, if they came in second or third to another girl, there are colleges around the country that would offer them a scholarship to come and swim for them.
Coming in second and third or to another girl, it sounds perfectly fair. Coming in second to a boy is not fair.
Okay.
No, you talk about gender dysphoria. Gender dysphoria is not physical.
Well,
nobody
that's right,
that
but
either.
I mean, well,
yeah,
I mean, but a kid, I don't know. I don't understand the whole thing, but I mean, I think.
Yeah, I don't either.
But a lot of our health is tied, our mental.
I don't think we should sacrifice these young girls that have been working maybe for their, you know, who knows how long at this for the sake of one individual.
Okay.
That you're just.
I appreciate that, Jerry, but I think then you should take that argument to the Athletic Association of whatever and make the argument there. That's my point. Not to have state houses passing these laws.
I hear you. I mean, you're siding with the transgenders, and I don't understand how you could possibly do that.
Okay. All right, Jerry. Well,
for me, it's a mental problem, and nobody wants to address it.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, it obviously this, you know, dysphoria, I guess it does say, you know, it by definition, it is a, I'm not looking at the actual definition, but there is an issue there. It's a problem that needs to be corrected. And, how that's corrected, whether it's through counseling, whether it's waiting it out, whether it's actual surgical intervention or medicinal intervention. These are different ways to deal with a situation. But let's go to Doris in Ferndale. I want to get her take. Hi, Doris.
Hi. I think I have a solution to this little problem. I think it's.
Well, that would be awesome if you have a solution.
Okay,
what is it?
I don't know exactly how to explain it, so just please give me a little time to think about things.
Okay.
Okay. We have boys and girls games, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, what if, and I know that they would probably have to change from girls' games to boys' leagues or whatever that thing is, but... Mm-hmm. The thing is that if these kids want to change what they are from what God made them, so they don't like it, so they think they feel better as something else, okay? So they're changing. Well, it is unfair for a male to become a girl in form and then go play with girls that are not as strong as that person is. It is unfair. And I don't think there's any girl that would change into a boy and want to go play on a boys' league. They're just not going to do it.
I don't know
so
about
if,
that. But,
if they want to change what they are, I think that we need to change the game plan.
Okay.
And if they want to play with be a girl, if a boy wants to be a girl, let him play on the boys' team. If a girl wants to, a girl wants to become a boy, let her play on the girls' team. Then you've got mixed teams, and all you have to do is change the name of a team. Everybody can play. Everybody can win at what they're good at. Then you don't. There's no this transgender. You're not going to know who's transgender unless they want you to know. So mix them. Don't I'm this and I'm that and I'm better than you. I don't think that's the thing. I know these guys, they go over it. Well, hey, I'm stronger, whatever. I'm a girl now. I can go over there and I can win all these things. Well, next thing you know, we're not going to have any girls' leagues because they're all going to quit.
Well.
So then all we have is transgender things. And it's basically all going to be boys.
Why not
just change the attitude, change the game a little bit so that everybody can play.
Okay, so you're saying that that a boy who transitions to a girl would still play on the boys' teams, and a girl who transitions to a boy would still play on a girls' team?
Yes.
Okay.
Then everybody is playing.
Right.
And I think the basically thing all that you would have to do is just change the name of girls' league or boys' league. Give them, think of a good name for them, that they like. I mean,
just the name of the mascot. Well, Doris, I appreciate your thoughts. I appreciate everybody's thoughts today. Interesting conversation for sure. And I guess maybe what Doris is talking about is kind of do what the Boy Scouts did and just rename the whole thing because they allow girls now. But thanks for joining us, and we'll be back tomorrow, 4 o'clock, KGMI Connects.
Hey, I just finished my spring carpet cleaning early this year thanks to the help of Swan's Clean Care and Restoration. Amazing as always.
Really? I'd love to have Swan's Clean Care clean my carpets, but isn't it expensive?
With Swan's, it's a lot less than you think. And with their new referral program, we'll both get a nice discount. Just go to their website, then call and tell them I sent you.
Fresh, clean carpets? Swan's, here I come. Hey, what's that website?
SwansCarpetCleaning.com. But hurry, it's only happening through May 31st.
From Mount Baker to Bellingham Bay and beyond, KGMI and KISM HD2 Bellingham. From the West Mechanical Studio.